Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
All right, welcome back. Greetings, salutations, everyone. It's the Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are all doing well after that wonderful display between Roma and Elfsborg. Before we get into the exhilarating attacking football that was on display by the Giallorossi this evening, our patrons, we love you. You're crazy like us, but we do love you. We appreciate your support. Patreon.com/RomaPress, at Ice Roma Press on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. You know the drill. I can't think of any other ways to draw this out. Let's just get our hands dirty, Andy. What was that?
I can't, you know, it's the years go by and I still, like, you know, we're not here for the first time talking about the game that we just saw. It feels like I've seen this exact same match in these same exact circumstances about 70 times in the last 6 years that we've been doing this. I can name you so many. So many obscure teams from all over the world.
Leagues, yeah. I mean, I just assume it's going to be a shit show. If it is anything outside of, you know, Portugal, Spain, France, Germany.
It did remind me, John, of the glorious evening that we had with Jose Mourinho on the sideline against the Young Boys in Switzerland. Remember that? Or artificial pitch, cold as hell. Yes. Didn't Young Boys win 1-0? Or maybe it was 1-1. Really deflating. It was deflating. It was the same kind of like possession-based football where nothing happens. The opponent just scores a miraculous goal. In this case, we have a penalty that, you know, it's a difficult game to crack because you've seen it so many times. I can tell you, John, that both you and I were probably in the deepest heart of hearts leaning like 70-30 that Roma were going to mess this up tonight.
Oh, yes.
Like you know, like this is the kind of perfect scenario. It's a perfect script for the kind of evening that Roma can afford to their fans whenever they face teams like this. You know, Elfsborg, a team where even their coach said, I'd be lying if I didn't say that there were levels between Roma and Elfsborg. You know, like, so even if the coach says it, and then you get what you get, which is, again, sort of like a very stale, very sleepy display from a team that seems unable to produce anything except for those final 15-20 minutes, I would say, with the entrance of Pellegrini, Dovbik, something there happens, but not much. And you come away with it, you know, this is going to go into a huge catalog of these games that we've seen plenty of in the last few years. Like there should be actually a book covering these shit shows around Europe.
There should be, and if there was ever a team, because I know many have come and gone throughout Serie A, if you want to find a team that perfectly embodies their manager, I don't know. You really have to be sick and depraved like ourselves to remember Hiljemark when he was playing in Serie A. People usually, I think it was only one season he was there, but I always jump to his time at Palermo. You want to talk about the player that is so bland, uninspiring, not flashy.
Yeah, sort of like the perfect Serie A relegation player. Like he was the face of those clubs, right? Of Palermo, of Genoa, of those years. Like truly, like the most mediocre, unappealing guy ever. And yet today, he looked like a million bucks up there.
Well, I put him along the likes of, and again, you have to be really sick, but I'm sure many people remember this name, Davide Biondini, just a player, just bland. I couldn't tell you a single aspect of their game that they excel in. In fact, I can't even recall a match in which they scored. If I had a gun to my head and I had to guess how many goals Biondini scored in his career, if the over under mark was set at 5, I honestly couldn't tell you one way or the other.
I still think about like someone like Walter Birsa. Remember Walter Birsa? Like those are the kind of players, you know, that you know they existed in some distant realm in Serie A. They have their replicas now. But now, guess what? Hjalmark, he apparently, I didn't know this, he retired from professional football at age 28.
Yes. And I now saw his age today and I almost died.
Crazy. 32 coaching, you know, facing Juric, who arguably gave him the best years of his career. So,
yes,
you know, this is the Roma universe. This will always surprise you. It will always find a way to get you caught up in some crazy, you know, universe where these laws of Hjalmark, the understudy to Juric, the player that for some reason played under Juric for three seasons at Genoa, is back as a coach and is ready to defeat him in the Europa League. So Juric is defeated in the Europa League. Hjalmark gets his first win as a coach in the Europa League before Juric does. Now that's incredible. And that's only a storyline that Roma can create.
Well, it is. And Bielsa, the last I remember seeing him alive was Chievo Verona, perfectly encapsulating the metaphor of his career. It's only right that he was there with Chievo Verona when they turned into nothing. I just looked, Googled very quickly. He's 38 years old, which is difficult for me to even wrap my head around. But yeah, Hjalmark being 32 years of age just blew my mind, because I swore he played at Genoa in like 2013, 2014, something like that. But actually, it was not so long ago before, I think it was, 2017, 2018, something like that. I mean, it's mind-blowing stuff.
He was there for Totti's last game again. He was there in 2017 for Totti's last game.
So I think going into the weeds of this one, what are we supposed to say? Take an episode over the last 5 to 6 years, whether they were playing in Norway, Switzerland, trying to think of other... who was it last year that they lost to 2-0? Slavia Praha. There is a catalog of matches that went exactly like today. Copy and paste whatever we said from dozens of episodes at that point to put it into today. I mean, what are we supposed to say? And by the way, the fact that it was a plastic pitch is the trifecta. You're playing...
It's the least surprising thing in the world, right? Like, it's... I have to say that this was a must. We have to have at least one game on an artificial pitch during one season, right? We have to.
Well, your Norwegian electricians, they had one too, if I'm not mistaken, correct? It's a must. It is a must. It is bizarre to me why in only these exotic footballing countries, and I say exotic in the sense of is outside of the big leagues in Europe, how or why it is so... Somebody write to us as to why this is the case. Because it can't be coincidence, because Roma always seem to draw against the teams that have these artificial pitches. It's not normal to play a team that has a fake pitch every single year. And I think they have for the previous 3 to 4 seasons. It's very bizarre. So somebody in the comments below, just provide me with some insight. Maybe I'm just stupid and I can't comprehend the obvious answer in front of me. But... I find it very difficult to come on here and try and break down tactically what we saw today. I mean, the only thing I'm getting out of what I saw today was Paredes still looks like my uncle after the holidays, how older people tend to bloat after they eat food. I mean, he's still...
Yeah, he's not looking good. My man is ready to go back to Argentina. This is clearly what he wants. We all know, like, everybody knows that he's going to end his contract this year. He's going to let it run out and he's going to go back to Boca and have this great last 2 years of his career. And that's it before calling it quits. Everybody knows it. So,
I mean, he's on that Pastore plan. I mean, that photo of him grilling on his balcony has to, just Photoshop Paredes in there.
I mean, he's having a great time, you know, and today he gets to wear the captain's armband. He's got that little beer belly. It's fine. You know, everybody would like to have that. Dybala also came on today looking a bit lethargic. I could only say that Saud in the second half looked good.
He did.
And he the moment he started looking really good, they took him off. Pellegrini looked good. Pellegrini looked lively. Pellegrini looked like he wanted to prove something. He obviously, as always, John, we get the artificial pitch and we get the crossbar. We hit the crossbar with Pellegrini. So it's sort of this is the greatest hits, you know, this is the magnificent compilation of everything that Roma have shown us in the last few years. Today we got basically a nice juicy concentrate of it. Bizzilli looked alive, I would say.
My god, you are scraping now. He looked alive.
Dovbyk came on and moved around.
He looked
the
good,
pitch.
By the way.
Yeah,
he
listen.
Lively.
Listen, the thing with these games is you know perfectly well how is it gonna go. You are playing against the team that is used to. First of all, you get players who are terrified of getting injured on this kind of pitch. They're completely unfamiliar with it. Everybody's worried. Nobody wants to risk getting hurt on an artificial pitch. So you immediately have a team that hesitates. And then obviously you're facing a team that, shuts up shop and sort of sits back and gives you possession. And that's Roma's greatest weak spot, is the inability to, for a sustained period of time, to create, to advance, to make things happen. They have that possession, but that possession very few times results in actual opportunities. So today I wouldn't even have anything to say about, say, the number of crosses. There has been, if you pull up the statistics, there's like a huge amount of crosses made. Almost none of them were accurate. But the thing is that you basically had nobody in the penalty area. So how are you gonna, so I can't even blame likes of Angelino or Saud for not getting things done. But it's just a matter of this team has had such a hard time over the years, no matter who is the boss, to understand what they have to do when they're in a clear situation where they are in advantaged in terms of quality, in terms of personnel, in terms of possession. They don't know what to do. They lack ideas, and more so they lack aggressivity. They don't even make themselves feel dangerous. You know, you don't feel that the opponent is scared. So tonight, Elfsborg go home. They have the 3 points. They won, and they can sleep peacefully because they know exactly that they just did what they had to do. They got that one goal, and it was enough. It was enough to put Roma in trouble.
Admittedly, I thought we were going to get the typical El Shaarawy lifeline at the end with that curler from the right side. That
he was awful, though. He was awful. He's been really bad. El Shaarawy, I don't know what happened this summer between that injury after the Switzerland game with Italy, but something happened.
Be quiet as to what happened.
But no, come on, John. We're not gonna go there, but anyway.
He had two actions that were good. He delivered that one cross. I believe it was him. Was it to Dovbyk or Baldanzi? Or no, it was Pizzilli. He delivered a perfect cross. I would say it was the best opportunity of the match for Roma, other than Pellegrini. But they massacred my boy. It's so sad because he. If you watch him, we remember the months initially after returning to Roma where he had to work off he got very used to the diet in that Chinese Super League. He enjoyed the Chinese Super buffets, okay? He looked so lethargic, not explosive, but I thought even with that, I thought he was going to pull off one of his stunners, which he almost did. He was just a few centimeters wide. I mean, it looked a lot closer than I initially thought. Should we be worried? Because I'm not going to basing things on off the Patreon group chat. It is always an emergency situation. You can tell many of these wonderful patrons don't have children because, man, they are panicking at the slightest thing. But there is something going on here to the extent of, man, the possession is no issue. In that first half, it felt like the possession was 80% to 20%. I cannot recall a single opportunity that Roma conceded in terms of attacking action to the opponent. And yet they go into halftime down 1-0. is there something with this attacking lack of concreteness? And beyond that, there is something very bizarre as to their timing of conceding. I mean, especially this early in the season, how many goals is that either before the end of halftime? I would say in the final 5 minutes of the first half, in the final five to 10 minutes plus added time in the second half, I can already recall 4 goals so far this season, 3 that they have conceded. It's very bizarre. And now there may be some coincidence to it. I would say there is a character flaw in the sense of you do good all the way up until the end, but you, instead of going past the finish line, you stop just short and you have somebody in the marathon coming right behind you because you decided to slow down, catching you at that instant. You were just meters away from crossing the finish line and now they're ahead of you. That's what it feels like. It feels so weird to me, especially in the first half. The first half is so weird how you do. You didn't create much in the first half. You didn't get that many concrete opportunities. You held the ball away from the opponent. Again, what seemed like they had 15% possession. Now, you didn't do a whole lot with it, but still, it is so weird to have the ball that much. And then just seconds before the break, you go in losing. You were fine up until that point. And then all it takes is just a couple of seconds. And now the entire trajectory of the match, because you had a momentary lapse in concentration just before the half, the entire complexion of the match has changed because you couldn't hang on. You couldn't just get past that finish line. I do think there is something into that. Again, it may be coincidental. To have it happen this many times so early in the season is very weird to me. But there is something in that. That just, you have to be able to close it out.
But I think that's a common sign of a team that has still ways to go, John. I mean, mind you, John, because I know that a lot of people will be, you know, even saying like, this Roma team, you know, these games have become a norm for us. Man, I was watching these games when Totti and Rossi were playing. Let's not pretend like these types of games were not happening before that, okay? Who's going to tell the new supporters about Bate Borisov, okay? Yeah. Who's going
to... I'll never forget, man. Remember some of those gems from like 50 yards away?
Unbelievable.
Three bouncing ball he lets it in between his legs.
Unbelievable. But it used to happen. It always happens. So I don't have an issue. Like, for me, the issue is never about this particular game at hand. Because you would be hard-pressed to find a club that goes out to Elfsborg and goes and dictates the game as if they were, you know, running the show back at home. It's not the same. No team will ever take such games seriously. It's factual. It's not even speculation. It's factual. It doesn't happen. You know, you might as well put a Real Madrid against Elfsborg and they will also struggle because they first of all, they will underestimate the opponent. Second of all, they're precious. Players are precious. They don't want to, it's not even in their blood to get really excited about games like these. Okay. That's first of all, first thing out of the way. Second thing out of the way is the fact that this is clearly a team that is putting the pieces together. So today you had Hermoso in the defense, you had Saud, guys like Sule, who still needs to figure things out, guys like El Shaarawy and Paredes, who are in retirement, basically.
Yeah, just stay finished. You could say it.
Yes. And then you have that element that is bizarre. Like you say, it's weird because even Juric, and then people will take issue with this. You know, he comes out and says, I didn't see a negative performance. I can't even agree with him to the extent that, you know, on paper, you did everything right. In the sense that you basically, I mean, for the most part, this is a game that you hold control over. In the final minutes, perhaps you get lucky. Perhaps Pellegrini doesn't hit the crossbar. Perhaps it goes in, and then you're talking about a different game. You know, like that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about, details. At the same time, though, there is obviously this recurring pattern of a team that, first of all, defensively, it still needs to tighten itself up. It still has to figure out what it wants to do and who has to be the leader right now. Because I think that's something that we will be seeing a lot of. A lot of these mistakes, even Juric, when he was asked about Hummels, he said, well, Hummels is still not in the best condition. And right now in that position, we cannot afford to make mistakes. Like that's something, like that's being the central defender in my setup, in this team that we are building, is far from easy. And perhaps not ideal for someone who has not been training with the team for 3 months. So we are talking about a team that, as Juric himself said, it has quality. But the problem is, what do you do with the ball, and how do you embrace the you know, the aggressivity, the kind of pragmatic way of pressing the opponent, of going about defending on counterattacks, of also getting also all these players on board, guys yes. like Saoud and Sule, in order for them to perform in these types of matches, they have to get there first. I never expected, for example, tonight to be the game where Matthias Sule all of a sudden unlocks himself and becomes, you know, Roma's savior. It's not going to happen in these games. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, these are not happening
on a Thursday on a bank called Thursday evening in Sweden.
Never. It never happens. Mind you, Luciano Spalletti tried that with Gerson and Juan Iturbe in Bulgaria in the Europa League. Remember Astra Giorgio?
Yes.
And we struggled mightily. But why? Because you will never put your players in a position to succeed when you go about these games. It's just never, at least for the ones who are struggling, these are never the games where the thing happens for them, where magic happens. It does not happen in these circumstances. Unfortunately, it is a problem for Roma to be so ineffective when attacking. Obviously, going forward, you have to sort this out. Even against Monza have been quite underwhelming this season. That is definitely a challenge that you should meet accordingly. Tonight sort of reaffirms the fact that you are a team that potentially has a lot of quality, potentially has a lot of ideas, because I do think that Ivan Juric has a lot of ideas for this team, for the way he wants these guys to perform. But right now, it's not coming. Like, as in, right now, it really depends on a lot of factors. And right now, it seems like this is a team that is very much tied to its own comfort. We're just coming off three consecutive games played at home, okay? It's not a coincidence that Ivan Juric's positive start happens at the Stadio Olimpico. Despite the boycott, despite the contest, you make stuff happen at home. You don't make stuff happen in Sweden. Unfortunately, that's the case for a team that is still clearly putting all these pieces together. Some are not working. Some clearly need to be addressed. But it's not going to happen in Augsburg. I'm sorry.
No, I'm replaying all the hits from that 2016-2017 season, because if I recall correctly, that was also the season of Victoria Pilsen, where I forget how late, but they equalized.
I remember that.
I mean, yes.
1-1. Diego Perotti on penalty, and then,
I mean, that group. You want to talk about the hits. That group, particularly for, I mean, look at that Roma. Probably the most talented Roma of the decade, I would say. If we are speaking strictly of the strongest 11 and players being at their best and at their peaks, that I would say that without doubt was the best Roma. And even they are struggling, okay, to win matches like matches against teams that. If this were a Sunday evening, all eyes, you know, at the Olimpico, I mean, they run them off the pitch. So
absolutely, Absolutely.
Again, if this, I can understand. Listen, if this is your first, if this is your introduction to Roma,
You'll get depressed.
Why you are down in the dumps and trying to comprehend what made you begin to watch this club. But this is a copy and paste of dozens and dozens and dozens of matches just within the last 3 to 5 years. But if we go back even further, depending on how sick we want to be, I mean, you will find hundreds. So this is nothing new. We did have some people, which was nice to see, asking if Roma are if they were going and attempting to intentionally bin.
Oh God! Oh yeah, conference
on tonight. Listen, if this was the match that made you suspicious that Roma were binning the Europa League, I don't know how much trauma you have endured in life, but clearly, it is not even close to the necessary level for you to be partaking in watching AS Roma football at a consistent rate. Because if you were so traumatized by today that you honestly had a passing thought in your head that said, maybe they're doing the Cazzari special, where they're going into the Europa League and they are just saying, nah, we're binning it. We're going to go into concentrate on Serie A. Like as if Roma are playing like 4D chess while everybody else is playing, you know, checkers or something like that. And even if they did, I can't even begin to make heads or tails of how we would come to that conclusion. And if we did come to that conclusion, why would it be that match or this match tonight that brings us to said conclusion? I just had to throw it out there because I had somebody also from the group, from the Pitcher group chat, message me individually. Maybe they are trying to do it. Maybe they're because they cited what Antonio Conte did with Juve in.
I think there are so many
levels to that argument and that comparison that I don't have the time to do that.
But also again, like these, a game like tonight really means quite little in the grand scheme of things. As in, if there was a game where you could expect a loss, man, I guarantee it was today.
Yes.
I never had my hopes so low as in for today. No. And it came about because I know this team. I know how they react in these moments. You're just not going to take it out of them. What we can say about this particular team is that they need to figure themselves out beyond this one match. There are lingering issues. There are players that need to be recovered. The players that need to be mentally there, more so than just physically. I mean, a guy like Matias Sule, you know, he goes down against Venezia in those goal celebrations with Pizzilli. He hurts himself in the ankle. He's fine physically. Physically, he's back in. He's eager. He goes for the ball. He's never stopping. He's always running around. But the problem is you have to get him to fit in. Those are things that can only happen over time. They cannot be, you know, like Saud. Saud did well today compared to what he gave us in his previous outing, where everybody was ready with pitchforks, it seemed like, to call him the worst signing in Roma's history. But you have to give it time to in the sense that you have to understand that this team is right now dealing with a lot of things, and a lot of things are not going their way. So the fact that you got three positive results in the form of two victories, one draw in the first games under Ivan Juric is already something that you should not be taking for granted. But does that mean that we're back to being invincible? Does that mean that we're back being near the top dogs? No, it does not. It will not. And tonight with Elfsborg is just another piece of evidence that shows the limitations of this team, that shows that this team will always, no matter what, feel more comfortable at home, whether there is a boycott or not, than anywhere near, a strange foreign pitch where the expectation is you are the better team. Go out there and dictate the play. Because how many times have we seen this happen to Roma? Anytime they've been labeled the favorites, anytime they've been labeled as the team that will go in and crush the opponent. I remember Slavia Praha. Remember, John, last year, their coach, how he was salivating over the fact that he's going to face Jose Mourinho, and he was all humble, and it was also, I mean, oh, for us, it's an honor. For us, it's so great. And boom, goes out and completely dominates us, wins 2-0 in his own home. So that's how it works for us. The problem is that there are things that you must address, and you must address it as soon as possible because, hey, time is running out.
Yeah, frankly, I wish, as the saying goes, ignorance is bliss. I almost wish I was able to come away from tonight saying, yeah, you know what? They are beating it. This is great. We're going to have one match per week. No, and trust me, by the way, I think in my entire life of watching Roma, the only time I can ever recall, in my opinion, them binning Europa League or any European competition, it was the first season of James Palotta, 2011-2012. I forget who they lost to. Slavan Bratislava, I believe. And, I mean, they're starting. Viviani, remember, the next De Rossi. I believe in my entire life that is the only time I can clearly recall Roma were bidding it so they can have only one match per week. Speaking of one match per week, Roma faced Monza, bottom of the table.
Alessandro Nesta.
Which, by the way, very rarely do I bet on football. I bet on them to be relegated as the exact day of they appointed Nesta. Mm. I put money on them to be relegated, and I feel fairly confident in that. Now, in fairness, they are bottom of the table, but they have done well against the big.
They did surprise everybody because yes. they went from one extreme to the next one. It's always unbelievable when this happens in Serie A. You never know what to expect from a team like Monza because, yes, they on one hand, it's clearly a team that is struggling to assimilate ideas, whatever they may be, by Nesta, who I really do think this was a leap, a bit too big.
Huge
for
mistake.
Him. Yeah. On the other hand, once again, it's a team that clearly thrives on complicating the lives of the bigger clubs. And against the Inter, they go out and they fight. They fight the way Juric's Genoa fought against Roma on that day when Totti retired. It's that sort of mentality, you know, that mentality of let's show the world. Let's show the world what we're made of. So now that's a pleasant thought to have on this evening after you lose against Augsburg, is that not the fact that you have an assured 3 points in the bag against Monza, is that potentially you'll be facing a team that, first of all, is desperate, and second of all, wants to prove itself once again against one of the top sides in the league.
Yeah, again, I'm trying to find some way to do some hard-hitting analysis on this and make it seem like this is going to be some, desperate, fight them out, shoot them out, salivating evening of football, because I believe they have the 1800 time slot on Sunday, which is weird to me because they always seem to struggle in that one. It seems like I find it very difficult to come up with reasons as to why they shouldn't win this. It was interesting to see, I guess, how Juric is, what level of turnover we can expect from him. I was surprised when we see the cavalry enter at what moment did
about Dybala, 70th yes. minute, something like that. It's always, for me, it's always deflating when that happens.
I think every time that happens, it sucks because he didn't want to do this.
But also, mind you, it never results in anything good. I can't recall a game where that actually changed. Like, especially Dybala. Dybala is a player that when he's not feeling it, when he's not bothered. He just got called up by Argentina. Do you really think he's going to go out there and play his heart out right. on an artificial pitch against Augsburg with 20 minutes to go. Are you kidding me? It's not happening.
Yes. And every time he enters too, at a moment like this, he never goes for the pragmatic sort of goal. He's not making runs into the area. It's always those runs from outside of the opponent's box. And he's trying to curl it in from 30 to 40 yards away. You could tell they're holding back. Okay, let's just end this here. We can't. I can't do 5 more minutes trying to come up with talking points on Monza. I can't. I mean, an evening in Sweden. Okay. I feel like the match was today. I want to sleep. I'm sure you are the same. But come on, you cannot let tonight get to you. Because, by the way, there's 6 more, right? Because you don't have the group stages. It's different now. There's more matches. Me, yeah,
I don't want to. No, I'm not the analytics team is out. I have no idea.
You can't. If tonight got to you, you should let me be your doctor just for tonight right
Skip
now.
Skip to the end
that
of the
sounded
season.
Very weird. There were some connotations there.
I know.
Let me just
tell
you. Don't do this to yourself. Don't do this to yourself on Thursdays. If tonight got to you. See you in April, or just stick to Saturdays and Sundays. Don't do this to yourself. If you know a match like, listen. Look at the country in which they're playing, okay? You'll be able to tell right away as to whether or not they're going to win, okay?
It's
on
true.
Wikipedia, it tells to you all of the historical stats of the recent seasons and how they have done in certain places. Just don't put yourself to the torture because it's going to happen again. Oof, okay, we will be back after Sunday. Until then, ciao.